You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
Before we dive into Men at Work today, these are 20 deep thoughts. These are especially for the challenged men. Hey, listen closely. 20 deep thoughts. Can vegetarians eat animal crackers? You know, it kind of goes in waves in this room. Number two, if man evolved from apes, why do we still have apes? I thought I'd get an amen on that one or something. I went to the bookstore and asked the saleswoman where the self-help section was. She said if she told me, it would defeat the purpose. Number four, I shouldn't give you the numbers because it makes it feel like it's going to drag on and on, but anyhow. Should crematoriums give discounts for burn victims? Number five, if a mute kid swears, does his mother wash his hands with soap? Six, and whose cruel idea was it to put an S in the word lisp? All right, ladies, listen closely. Number seven, if a man stands in the middle of the forest speaking and there is no woman around to hear him, is he still wrong? We're coming back. If someone with multiple personalities threatens suicide, is it considered a hostage situation? Number nine, is there another word for synonym? Isn't it scary that doctors call what they do practice? Where do forest rangers go to get away from it all? What should you do if you see an endangered animal eating an endangered plant? If a parsley farmer is sued, do they garnish his wages? Man, I better just speak. My voice is going just on this. Would a wingless fly be called a walk? You know, the people that are laughing are the ones his kids pulled their wings off and watched them run around. That's what they're laughing about. Well, there are people over here like, oh, I can't believe people say those things. Where have you all been over here? Is a shellless turtle homeless or just naked? Is it true that cannibals won't eat clowns because they taste funny? She smiled. At least you're smiling on some of these, don't you? Why do they put Braille on the drive-through bank machines? That's a good question. I mean, that is a very good question. I don't even use those machines anymore because when some of those people come driving behind me, you're in trouble. Do they use sterilized needles for lethal injections? Deep thoughts. Why did kamikaze pilots wear helmets? And number 20, what was the best thing before sliced bread? Well, I should have just stopped at number six, I think. All right, today is Men at Work. And we've had some prayer requests about companies and layoffs. And I'm not saying that women losing a job is not devastating, but something happens to men when they lose their job. Something about if they're the sole, quote unquote, breadwinner or provider in their family. Sometimes I think, though, it goes beyond just having money to pay the bills and take care of their family. A man, for some reason, gets caught up. It's like a man is what he does. And if a man does not have a job, and that job is not a good job in his mind or in his perception, and his identity is tied to that in some way, it can throw him off. How many of you women have either dated, been married to, or are married to a man that at some point in his life, the job thing threw him for a loop? Okay, how many women have ever met a man? Have ever been, you know a man or a man? Whether you realize it or not, there are men around you, and if their job changes, ladies, and men know this and may not talk about it a lot, But you can have a cocky, proud, arrogant man blowing up the toll road with a cell phone in one hand, reading a beeper with email in the next, and he is climbing to the moon, just going and blowing, and lose his job, and he will hit the bottom hard. And he won't want to call his friends. He'll withdraw till he's got another job and he's back on track. It's hard stuff. Like, men, would you agree with this kind of stuff? Are there any men out there that think it's tough? I don't know where this comes from, but for some reason, we are what we do, and it is a dangerous thing. Now, you can't come here and hear me very long without understanding and getting the point that if this relationship, the vertical relationships are not right, you and God, then the horizontal relationship with a wife, kids, a job, everything are going to be screwed up, and it's going to wreck your life. And if you go looking for satisfaction anywhere other than, in my opinion, according to what the book says, other than in God and the person of Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. And the Bible says this, and this applies mainly to Christians, obviously, or to anybody who wants to become a true follower of Christ. It says this, if any man, it uses that word in terms of men and women, but if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are new. It's a new deal. And you are not what you do. Your value doesn't come from a job or how much you make or any of those things. Your value comes because God says you're valuable. And you're valuable enough. There you go. I'll just keep that point going then. I'll work this point a little more. Of course, I don't pander to the crowd or any way, but so you're a new person. And I'm not telling you that it won't rock you a little bit, guys, or you women who have men in your life and layoffs and downsizing, all this stuff going on. But if a man knows who he is, then what he does or doesn't do has little to do with whether he knows he's accepted. Now, it may be a blow. It may knock the wind out of him for a minute, but he'll keep going if he knows who he is in Christ. Now, I'm going to cite here three different guys in the Bible, and there's a ton of other people. But some people have the misconception that all the men in the Bible are like preachers. That everybody that God used in the Bible was a preacher. I'm going to tell you the first one we're going to look at today is Abraham. His name was Abram and changed to Abraham when God made a covenant with him. But guys, let me tell you something. This guy was no preacher. He was a big-time rancher in the Middle East who had lots of money, lots of family, lots going on. And God tapped him on the shoulder and said, I choose you. We're going somewhere you don't know where we're going, and I'm asking you to trust me. And in Genesis 11, if you write this stuff down, and I'd suggest you write some of it down because I won't be able to read all of it today, and you can go home and read on your own. But Genesis 11, 31 says, and Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out from them from the Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. He said, leave. He didn't tell him, he said, I'll show you once you leave, but I'm not going to show you. And if a man is in balance and he knows who he is, he's going to be a man that lives and walks by faith. And you're not always going to know what's coming, what's going to happen, and what God's going to do. And sometimes God will say, look, you've lost your job, you've been laid off, trust me. I have not abandoned you. I'm going to relocate you. I'm going to provide for you. And it goes on here to say to Abram, he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families there shall be blessed. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He obeyed. Now guys, especially, this is where you're going to get messed up. If you get with God and you know God and your intent is to follow God, it's one thing to know God's will. It's another thing to do God's will. And there are a lot of religious people that I've grown up around and know, they can quote you scripture, bury you. They can find, I mean, you say Hezekiah or, you know, Ezekiel or something, they'll find it. But their life's so screwed up, they can't see straight. They can quote scripture, I'm not saying that's bad. They can find, you know, books in the Bible, I'm not saying that's bad. But if you don't go to this book with the intent not just to find out what it says, but to do what it says, you're in trouble. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but a lady came up to me, and she said to me, I've never read the Bible, but my father is not going to live long, and I need something to read to my father out of the Bible. And I said, you have a minute? When we sat down and we talked. And this is what I said to her. I said, if I were a doctor and I knew what your dad had and I could write a long prescription of medicine for your father that would make him well, would you take my prescription to him and read him the prescription, or would you fill the prescription and encourage him to take the medicine? And I looked at her and I said, this is the prescription, but you got to take the medicine. So I sat there for a few minutes and I explained to her that what it says is something she needed to do, and that was understand that Jesus loved her, he died for her, was buried, raised from the dead to give her eternal and abundant life. He had a plan, a purpose for life, could forgive her sins. Went through all of it, and I said, would you like to receive this gift? And she said, yes. Now, here's why I'm telling you that story. What I told her then was, I said, you need to take the prescription and now the medicine to your dad, because you might be able to sit and read him some scripture like King Saul in the Bible. David played music for him, but when the music stopped, his life was hell again. And you need the music not to stop. And when you get Jesus in you, the music doesn't have to stop unless you stop the music. So her life not only was changed, but she then had something to take to her father beyond a prescription. She had the medicine. But you've got to do it, guys. You have got to find out what God says and then take a step of faith. And you'd be amazed, the women in your life, if there are women connected to this, if you're not single or if you're divorced and a single dad and blended family, separated, whatever it is, women sometimes are hesitant and afraid because the main issue with a woman is security. And a man says, okay, I've lost my job, or I think I'm going to change jobs, and what's it going to take? You know, we're going to take this step, we're going to move to Austin, I'm going to switch jobs. And a woman says, oh my gosh, how will we pay the car payment? How will we pay the house payment? What about the kids' clothes? That stuff's going. But I'm going to tell you something, sooner or later, if you'll give a woman a chance to process, she'll say, you know what, he's taking a step of faith. And God, show me, I've been praying for this man all these years, show me if this is where you're taking us, and then follow the guy. Now, if God's not in it, and he's not a godly man, you're in for a long ride. But God will teach him and you something through that, and I'm sure we got plenty of stories in the room on that one. But follow, sooner or later you got to follow. And especially if a man's willing to take a step of faith and say, okay, God, you said you'd take care of me, I'm going to trust you to take care of me. And it's a great place to be. God usually is trying to get us to live by faith, not by sight. And it's a hard thing because we all want to live by what we see and by what we know and we can touch and feel. And he says, no, I want you to trust me, not your corporation, not your boss, not your company. Trust me to take care of you. And Abraham in verse 4 says, okay, we'll go. And I bet you his wife or wives, you know, if you think you got it tough now, these guys had wives back then. Now, ladies. It's amazing what I can say about the men and get away with it, but you just say something about women and all the body language goes like this. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I watched a deal on Colonel Sanders. It was a deal on A&E or whatever it was. Very interesting deal. And it wasn't until he was like 65. I mean, I'm not saying to hold him up. He was kind of a bizarre guy when you see the story, but... But at 65, man, he's going for it. He could have retired and drawn Social Security, but he took another step. So here Abram is saying, let's go. Verse 5, then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. And he is cited, by the way, over in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith. It says in verse 8, by faith Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now that's not blind. Well, where are you going? I don't know. I'm just going to go see what happened. He had been given a promise from God that I will show you where to go and I will take care of you. That's what you got to have. But you're not going to get that without talking to the Father. You've got to have a relationship this way. All right, the second guy. These are not long books. Daniel. Abram's a businessman. Daniel's basically, he becomes somewhat of a politician and advisor. He's kind of like a congressman's aide would be or something. He's not really the politician, but he works in the government. And he ends up in Babylon because Jerusalem had been seized by King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. came, took all these young guys, they kept the cream of the crop, these young, strong men, brought them in, and you have, depending on which list you want to go with, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, I think it is. These four guys stick to their guns, live by faith, do the right thing. And if you read through the book of Daniel and get down to chapter 6, verse 1, something happens. Daniel is so stinking consistent and so godly and so just faithful to God all the time. And everyone around him is jealous because he has been promoted. And basically, at this point, Darius, who's now the ruler of Babylon, is deciding he's going to put Daniel over everybody, over the 120, what they called satraps, and these rulers under the king. So they said, we got to nail Daniel. Now, if you live a godly life, now men, I'm not telling you, and I've mentioned this before, don't go wagging this book around your office. Don't go quoting scripture. Don't go throwing this thing around if your life doesn't back it up. Because you will make a mockery of God and everything else. If you're as mean as the devil one second and quoting scripture the next, nobody's going to get it. And they're going to go, whatever, just pray to God you don't end up like that. Daniel was consistent. Everybody knew it. And it turns out, if you read Daniel chapter 6, that the only way they could nail Daniel was because of his spirituality. And they go to Darius and say, pass a law that nobody, and they gave it 30 days. They didn't need 30 days. They could have done it 3 days. He was like clockwork. Pass this decree, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, it couldn't be revoked by any king. For 30 days, nobody can worship anybody but the king. Nobody but the king. So Daniel's not there, and if you read the story, these advisors go to the king and say, we have all agreed on this. Well, Daniel didn't agree to this. But they say, we all have, the king said, you know, as it is written, let it be done, whatever, he makes this decree. And then Daniel finds out what's happened. Do you know what Daniel did immediately? Daniel hears about this decree, and in verse 5, these guys had said, we'll not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. He is spotless. So we're going to have to concoct something. So when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. The second he hears about this law, verse 10, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, like he had done every day, he didn't hide. Windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. They knew what Daniel did like clockwork. 3 times a day in his house, windows open, he was going to pray to his God. And you know what? Daniel doesn't worry about this Darius. Daniel doesn't worry about these guys. He's been taken out of Jerusalem into captivity. God's preserved him. You get in trouble, gentlemen, when you start looking to anybody or anything else but God to take care of you. You get worried. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Well, what have you always done? And if what you've always done hasn't worked, don't do that anymore. But when you look back and see that you trusted God and he came through, then say, well, why don't we do that again? That's always worked. So Daniel says, you know what? God is God. I'm his servant. He's always taking care of me. I'm going to just do business as usual. And if God wants to take me out, I'm going home anyway. And if he wants to deliver me, he will. I'm going to do what I always do. Now see, well, it's a great story in the Bible. But you try to pray in a school or start a Bible study in your office and some supervisor comes in and says, you people can't pray at work. Are you willing to get fired over that? Well, I don't take it that far. You don't have to eat. Well, how do you think you've been eating all these years? Who's been taking care of you? Well, I have. I'm the one that's got the job. Who woke you up this morning? I mean, the alarm clock may have helped. But you would not have awakened with the alarm clock unless somebody had kept you alive for it to ring and hear it. That was a good one, wasn't it? All right. So Daniel sticks to his guns, he goes to his house, he prays, and you know what? They turn him in. And this King Darius is crushed because he realizes he's been set up and he can't do anything about it. And the decree was that this person who violated this would be killed, so he's got to be thrown into the lion's den. If you ever grew up in church, you know, we assume everybody knows these stories, but it's Daniel in the lion's den, and Daniel ends up in the lion's den. And Darius fasts all night. This king doesn't eat, worried, sick. And they put him in this pit, and I'm going to take a second and read you this. And the king, when he had heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Now, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute with the king establishes may be changed." So the king gave the commandment. They brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "He is at the pit of this mouth of this lion's den." He looks at Daniel and says this, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Darius knew his God through Daniel. When people see your life at work, they know what kind of person you are. You get in trouble, you know, they don't know what to say or how to say it, because they may not believe it for themselves, but you lose your job, you know what they'll come up to you and say? Stuff like this. You know, God's going to take care of you. Because you know God, and they don't know what to say, even what they're saying sometimes or how to say it. But God's going to take care of you. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Because we've watched you all the time you've worked here. You're a different kind of person. God's going to take care of you. Your God, he'll deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring with the signets of his lords. Then the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever." And I'm not saying he wasn't saying it to Darius, but I'm going to tell you that goes two ways. Because the real king is this king. "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Then the king was exceedingly glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So he's taken out of the den, and no injury whatever was found in him, because he believed his God. And if you keep reading on the story, all these guys who turned him in with their families and servant and children were thrown to these lions. And it says that before they even hit the ground of the lion's den, the lions were ripping them to pieces. Now, that sounds violent and terrible. I'm going to tell you what. God can stop and start and close and open and do whatever he wants to do. And if you spend your life futilely pursuing jobs, pursuing fame, pursuing all these things, and we're out of time, but I want you to read something, especially you men. Go home tonight and read the book of Ecclesiastes from beginning to end. And I got some passages to read out of here, but we don't have time. This guy did it all, had it all, saw it all. Women, money, houses, everything. And he got to the end and said, "Nothing. It's nothing. I missed everything. It's nothing without God." So please, you know, men at work is one thing, but when men are really at work, God's really at work in those men. And that's what makes all the difference.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today, and especially for Jesus, who gave his life, shed his blood, was buried and raised from the dead to make a real life possible, not just here on this planet, Lord, but in the hereafter, forever with you. Father, the enemy gets us chasing so much stuff. We're chasing it, and he's chasing us, and before long, 40, 50, 60, 70 years are gone, and we've missed it. And we've spent our life climbing a ladder and find out it's leaning against the wrong building. And I just pray, especially for the men, me included, Father, that we would be so careful not to find our value, our acceptance, our importance from what we do or who we are, that we would find it in who you are and what you've done in and what you do through us, and find out that the real job reward, the real promotion, the real benefits, the real retirement plan is not here but on the other side. and that we would lay up treasures in heaven where nothing can eat, nothing can rust, nothing can corrupt, and that it'll be there when we get there. We love you, God. We thank you so much for loving us, and we pray that you'd use us this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.